But joining us now on the line is Phil Handy, current Lakers assistant coach and former Raptors assistant coach. Of course, tonight on Sportsnet, we re-showed the Kawhi Leonard buzzer beater from last year's playoffs. And Phil, before we get to that, we know it's a tough time for everyone right now. Everybody staying home, trying to stay safe. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing okay. Doing well. I'm actually enjoying the downtime, me personally, being able to spend some time at home, relax, and get away from the game a little bit. So I'm doing really well.
Yeah, and that's something that seems like a lot of athletes are getting that right now. I know I've heard several hockey players say, you know, it's tough during the season. You know, you're home for maybe a day or two, and you're in and you're out, and you're back out on the road. It is difficult to, you know, spend that time with your family. You, of course, have the off season to do that as well. But, you know, I think that's sort of the one silver lining, maybe the positive that a lot of us can take out of what we're going through right now, is that we are sort of strengthening those connections that we have with our loved ones, especially the ones at home.
No, absolutely, man. I think that's something that we all take for granted, not only in sports, but, you know, people that, like yourselves, you guys are always on the radio, you're always busy. People that in other industries, they work a lot. So I've actually tried to take this time to be really, really positive about it and again, do some things that I haven't had a chance to do over the last 9 years. You know, this is the first time I've had any kind of time like this to myself in 9 years, so I'm taking full advantage of it.
So, Phil, Rob mentioned the Kawhi, the shot. That's what it's known as. And you had, you know, as good a seat as anybody for it. How many times have you watched that over? And every time you watch it, you look and go, I still can't believe that went in.
Well, tell you the truth, I've only watched that game once since then. But I've seen countless pictures, countless emojis, and I just think, man, just going back to that, I think sometimes we as coaches and athletes, sometimes when we're part of things like that, I think we take them for granted. And every time I see a picture of that, man, I remember how much of a special moment that was for all of us in that locker room, and then just for all of Toronto and all of Canada, man. That's one of the most historic moments in NBA history.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it felt like that night, you know, it was kind of, we saw what happened, of course, when the Raptors won the championship and how the streets were going crazy. But many people were going crazy that night after that Kawhi Leonard shot as well, Phil. And, you know, you were on the bench, as we mentioned, you were an assistant coach on the team last year. So you knew what play was coming and you knew Kawhi was going to get the ball and take that shot. You know, take us through what you were thinking in that moment, you know, leading up to the inbound and then obviously, you know, watching that ball bounce off the rim. What was going through your mind?
Well, you know, I think anytime in moments like that at the end of the game, I think everybody in the building knows if you have an elite player on your team, you're going to do everything you can to try to get the ball in that person's hands. And the rest of it, really, you just try to get out of their way and give them the best opportunity to make a good shot. And, man, Kawhi is just, you know, he's one of those guys that fits into that mold, elite player, very confident. And I just remember it was actually a little bit of a broken play. That play was a broken play, but again, you know, elite players, man, they always try to – they find a way to get any kind of opening. And you saw saw Kawhi dribble from the left side of the floor all the way to the deepest part of the right corner that he can get to give himself the opportunity to get that shot off. And I just remember the arena, for me, it just went dark. The arena went completely dark. It was soundless. And I remember just standing there watching the ball just bounce around the rim. It seemed like it was forever. And when the ball went through the net, it just seemed like all the lights and the sound just came back. I mean, that's what I remember as I was there witnessing that from my seat.
You know, it's funny, like I had the game on, I was watching it on the iPad while we're doing this broadcast, and you see everything that kind of leads up to it, and you see some of the plays that were made, and you know, some people forget that Kawhi actually missed the free throw that led to the Jimmy Butler bucket at the other end, caused you guys to call the timeout, and that's what led to the shot. But, you know, one guy that really stood out for me in that game, watching it over again, was Serge Ibaka, and how much of a beast he was in that game. And how that series kind of changed when you guys decided that, you know, you could play Serge and Mark on the floor at the same time, and it caused fits for the Sixers.
Well, man, I'll tell you what. The Sixers were, in my opinion, man, they were our toughest series in that whole playoffs. They were just so big. They had so much size. And, you know, that's what playoff basketball is about. You have to make adjustments. And I think their size was just such an impact on us. You know, Coach Nurse and the rest of the staff, man, he just did a great job of just adjusting and saying, hey, look, we can in this series we can play both of our bigs. We need some size on the floor to kind of match, you know, Embiid and you know some of the other guys that they had. And it just, man, it was one of those things where we were able to take advantage of it. And you, like you said, Serge was really, he was really big in that series. And I think his comfort level and his familiarity with Embiid also helped. You know, he's very comfortable from him and familiar with him. And just thinking back, man, that series to me was the toughest series that we had through that whole playoffs.
Phil Handy, current Lakers assistant coach, former Raptors assistant from the championship team last year, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Matt Marchese here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And Phil, you've been a part of championship teams before, and we saw, you know, last year the Raptors finally getting over the hump. And this year, without Kawhi, you know, Danny, obviously with you out in L.A., there's been some other changes too. You know, this Raptors team has been incredible, at least in the games that we saw in the regular season so far. We're all hoping that NBA basketball comes back at some point. We can get the regular season over, if not just, you know, start up the playoffs, and that would be great too. But you know, I think everybody looked at what happened last year, and it's pretty evident there has been a carryover into this season, even without Kawhi Leonard. I know you're out in LA right now, and you're dealing with the Lakers, and you have seen the Raptors a bit here. But what kind of stood out to you about the growth that some of the players last year made, whether it was Pascal or Fred, and what they've been able to bring into this season?
Man, it was tremendous. I think. I mean, you know, it takes a village, man. I think people don't really understand. Like, you know, Nick Nurse is a hell of a coach. I mean, I played for him way back in the day in England. And, you know, just his mentality, you know, he brings a tough mentality. And some of the other coaches we have on the staff, everybody was really working in the same direction. And then, you know, obviously you bring in guys like Kawhi and Danny to help elevate the culture. I'm not saying that the culture wasn't, because people forget, man, Toronto has always been phenomenal team in the regular season. They've always been very strong. And, you know, there were some unfortunate years when they ran into us in Cleveland. You know, obviously, you know, we had LeBron and some other teams. But, you know, I even think back to those days, if LeBron wasn't there and Cleveland wasn't as strong as they were, would Toronto have had an opportunity to make it to the finals before then? And when I went to Toronto, I just remember thinking how strong they were. Even before the Kawhi trade even happened, you know, I made my decision to come. Nick brought me on board. And I remember Pascal being one of the guys that I always said, man, he's just a phenomenal talent. He's young. And if he can hone in to a few things, he would improve tremendously. You know, Fred was always a tough kid, very underrated. Kyle has always been a savvy vet. And I looked at the roster and just there's just a bunch of guys on the team, man. They work hard. They play hard. And they've been together. So I'm not one bit surprised that they've played the way they played this season, because they've been doing that for a long time, you know, and they play extremely hard. So I'm a catalyst of guys that work hard and play hard, because I always believe that no matter how talented you are, I think that hard work piece makes up for a lot of stuff. And that's what you see from Toronto, man, without Kawhi, without Danny. They're just continuing to plug along.
Now, Phil, you've been on the bench for two of – some of the most iconic moments in NBA history. One, obviously, the shot, but the other is the block, and that's the LeBron James block on Andre Iguodala, and they're both really impressive, both in their own rights. But the question I wanted to ask you was, what is the difference between coaching Kawhi and coaching LeBron?
Not too much difference. I mean, their personalities are different. But you're talking about two elite, you know, alpha, A-level athletes, man. And they're both extremely competitive. They're both extremely hard workers. Their IQs are through the roof in terms of their understanding of the game. And again, just the only difference is really their personalities. They both want to win. And they're willing to do whatever it takes from an individual and team standpoint to give their teams an opportunity to win. And I was really surprised at Kawhi and just how cerebral he is. You know, I didn't know him before last year, and he's just a really cerebral player, man. He's very smart. He's quiet, but the game of basketball is something that he knows very well, and that's just, you know, I think it's well documented how smart LeBron is as a basketball player. So coaching those guys, to me, are very easy and very similar. You know, I've always said that great players are they're kind of mistaken in the sense that people think that they don't want to be coached, and it's quite the opposite. They want coaching. They want to be challenged, and I found that both of those guys were easily comparable to coach with no issues whatsoever.
A lot of, you know, it's very visual for us because we see LeBron, you know, in the huddles, and he's very vocal, and we see all that. Did Kawhi, did he do those kind of things as well, or was it he was kind of heard a lot less than a guy like LeBron, and he kind of just put his opinion in where he thought that he needed to and kind of stayed away for the most part and just let the coaches do their thing?
No, I think it was a good mix. It was a good mix of both with Kawhi, man. He was very active with his teammates. And if you ask any of those guys on that roster now, you know, they'll tell you, like, he was pretty active with his teammates in terms of being engaged and talking in the huddles and encouraging and just going back and forth. And, you know, he was always willing to give some input into the game as well, and what he saw on the floor and what he felt and what he thought would help us. You know, he's not as vocal as LeBron, but you would be surprised how much he is engaged and how much vocabulary he does bring to the team. I was a little bit surprised at that myself.
Phil Handy, assistant coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, former Raptors assistant, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Matt Marchese here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And for your Lakers, Phil, off to a fantastic start in the games that were played, 49 and 14. And we know sometimes when, you know, teams make changes, and we saw it with the Raptors last year, bringing in Kawhi Leonard, it took some time to figure things out. But for, you know, whatever reason, you know, Anthony Davis has really come in and thrived alongside LeBron. You know, Danny's there now as well, Rajon Rondo, some other changes. Why do you think it works so quickly for the Lakers this year, as opposed to, you know, some other situations we've seen before where, you know, a team brought in some big names and maybe it took some time to figure it all out?
Well, I just think everybody's on the same page. Frank Vogel, man, has done a tremendous job of leading the charge, and just in terms of his vision and what he's expected from the coaches and players. And then, you know, it's always easier when you have a guy like LeBron who leads by example every day. And AD is just one of those guys, man. He's just a star in the making, and just unbelievable talent. And I think you put the pot of all the players on the team. Everybody's motivated. Everybody's hungry. And I think really everybody just has the same agenda and same thing in mind, and that's to give ourselves the best opportunity to try to compete for a championship. And I think that's what you see. Just everybody's just dialed in and on the same page.
Phil, when we talk about your current team, the Lakers, and we've talked a little bit about LeBron, and he's a guy that said that he wants to dominate into his late 30s, and, you know, wants to play with his son, and, you know, his work outside the arena and off the court is, as we know, it's legendary. But how long can he keep this up, this elite play? Like, does it help having a guy like Anthony Davis there, who's a superstar in his own right, and he kind of takes a little bit of that pressure off of LeBron and maybe extends his career in a way?
Oh, man, absolutely. You hit it right on the head. I think you can never do it by yourself, man. There's never been one guy in this league in the history of the game that's ever done it by themselves. You have to have a supporting cast, and I think AD is way above what you call a supporting cast, but that helps. And it just there's so much trust between them two, and just, again, the rest of the guys on the team, man. They have a lot of trust within each other. And Bron does a really good job of just really giving his teammates power and confidence. And so you see guys play at a higher level when they play with him. And I just think, man, what you said earlier about what he does in terms of taking care of his body is just unprecedented. I mean, there's only been a few guys ever in the game that have done that, you know, the MJs, the Kobes, and the LeBrons, and just at a high, high level. You know, you think about the amount of money that they spend investing in themselves off the court. You know, he just, that man takes care of himself. So how long can he do it? I don't know, man. But it's, I tell you what, I'm amazed to just sit and watch and be a part of it and continue to watch him play at the level he's playing at, the age he's at right now.
Yeah, it really is phenomenal to see what LeBron is doing, for sure. One more before we let you go, Phil. And I know back in the early to mid-90s, you were still, you know, in college, you were playing ball, but I think we were all, you know, big fans of the Jordan Bulls, and we find out today that they're going to push up that documentary that ESPN has coming out to mid-April. So we're all going to get to enjoy that in the next couple of weeks. You know, just as a basketball fan, you know, what do you remember most about Michael Jordan? Because for a lot of us, myself included, and I'm sure for Matt as well, we got to see more of the tail end. I didn't get to see so much of, you know, 80s Jordan and early 90s Jordan when he was just at his absolute peak. But, you know, what kind of pops to your mind when you think of Michael Jordan?
Man, my wall in my bedroom as a teenager was filled with Michael Jordan pictures and posters. I mean, that's who I grew up. That's who I grew up watching and just idolized him as a young kid. And then even as a young adult playing professional basketball, man, he was just a phenomenal athlete that was just a supreme winner, man. I mean, he just, guy who never lost in the finals. He was just the ultimate competitor. And, man, to me, he's, you know, obviously one of the greatest players to ever play. But that's who I grew up watching. And he was just every bit of my influence as a player. He played a really, really big part in that.
Yeah, just an absolute legend, and we're all excited to see that documentary finally come out. Phil, we really appreciate you spending some time with us to reminisce about Kawhi and talk some Lakers. Stay safe, and we wish you all the best.
Man, you guys as well. I miss Toronto big time.